Good morning, good evening, whatever time you are tuning in. This is your girl, Kayla Monet, aka the Little Black Beetle, and you are tuning into Beetle Talks. This is, I want to say, episode 3 of season 3. It's been a minute. I know it's been like 2 weeks. I ain't gonna hold you. I forgot to upload the episode. But here we are. It is no new moon, no full moon this time. That will be next week and definitely be an episode dropping then. But we got some goodies today because guess what? Finally, the anti-2022 on Monday night by unanimous consent, hate crime now heads to President Joe Biden's desk for signature. After 200 failed attempts to outlaw lynching, Congress by passing the Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act. Thank goodness. According to Schumer, overdue. Now, let's look into what this bill actually entails, according to congress.gov. So, the bill entails 117th of Congress, United States of America, at the second session being held at the City of Washington on Monday, the 3rd of January, 2022, to amend Section 249 of Title 18 U.S. Code to specify lynching as a hate crime, be it enacted by the Senate and the House of Representatives of the United States of America, Congress assembled Section 1, short title, this act may be cited as the Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act, Section 2, Lynching and Other Conspiracies, Section 249A of Title 18, United States Code is amended by adding at the end of the following. 5, lynching, whoever conspires to commit any offense under paragraph 1, 2, or 3 shall, if death or serious bodily injury as defined in Section 2246 of this title results from the offense, to be imprisoned for not more than 30 years. So I guess the maximum for this sentence is 30 years in prison. Okay. Fine in accordance with this title or both. Number 6, other conspiracies, whoever conspires to commit any offense under paragraph 1, 2, or 3 shall, if death or serious bodily injury, as defined in Section 2246 of this title, results from offense of, or if the offense including kidnapping or attempt to kidnap, aggravated sexual abuse, or attempt to commit aggravated sexual abuse, or an attempt to kill, to be imprisoned for not more than 30 years, fine in accordance with this title or both. Section 3, determination of budgetary effects. The budgetary effects of this act for the purpose of complying with this statutory Pay-as-you-go Act of 2010 shall be determined by reference to the latest statement titled Budgetary Effects of Pay-go Legislation for this act submitted for printing in the Congress record of the chairman of the House Budget Committee, provided that such statement has been submitted prior to vote on passage. Signed by the Assist Speaker of the House of Representatives, Assist Vice President of the United States of the Senate. So, after 210 years later, we have an anti-lynching bill. Finally, we have a hate crime bill because, you know, there's a lot of states in this country who don't even have hate crime laws. You know, Georgia was definitely an example of that, and we've seen with the case of Ahmaud Arbery that was a lynching, and I don't call it a murder, I call it a lynching. And I know when people hear lynching, they think of like hanging from a tree. No, yeah, that's how they were killing Black folks. You know, it's really hard to grab a mob and grab, you know, storm into a Black man's house, drag him out the house, and, you know, hang him from a tree, you know, in a public setting like this. So lynching, you know, now there's guns and stuff like that, and there's stuff to do, you know, do it in other ways. But Ahmaud Arbery definitely was a lynching. This is how that was a lynching, because they saw this Black man and they literally went out in their trucks. It was like, we're going to catch you some nigga today. They went out of their trucks, follow this man, pursue this man. I guess they didn't think this man was going to fight back, but I commend that brother for fighting for his life, and he did not let them kill him. And it's unfortunate because he's 25 years old. We are the same age. It's hard. I feel for his family, and I feel for his parents. And may this brother rest in peace. His murderers are in jail for the rest of their life on state and federal charges. We see some accountability, but this has to end. You know, this happened in 2020. We had another incident in 1997 Texas murder. His name was like, we're gonna sit here and I have to pull this up because like that was another lynching in 1997 was. Well, 25 years ago now. Ha ha, damn. Times have gone by. Look at there, found in 1997. James, white supremacist, executing him behind a truck. James Byrd Jr., who was Black, was murdered 4 years ago. So, and he was recently executed 2019. I did not know this, so news today, and you should see this. John William King was executed on Wednesday, more than 20 years after he killed James Byrd. White men convicted him in 1998. He was 49, father of three. Barry was 49, father of three. He was abducted and beaten and chained to the back of a pickup truck, then dragged down a country road. He was dragged miles and was alive for at least two of those miles, decapitated, dismembered, and ditched in different parts. The other killer was executed in 2011. His name was Lawrence Russell Brewer. And then the other third man, Sean Allen Barry, he's serving life in prison. This is the reason why. Oh, and then, you know, and that was the case in 2009 where Obama, President Barack Obama, former President Barack Obama signed the Hate Crime Prevention Act. The legislation added crimes motivated by race, religion, or national origin and stuff like that. And this is also to happen. And also to in 1998, an openly gay student was abducted and beaten and tied to a fence in Wyoming of October of 1998. So those when we see the hate crime bills when it comes to like race, sexual origins, religion, all other stuff. But also that was another example of a lynching. It was in 1998 and that wasn't that long ago. And the fact that they were still having these incidents, and I can't stress this enough to people that these are not isolated incidents. You have to ask yourself, these things that keep happening in different places in different areas. And especially when these people don't know each other, why the same isolated incidents are happening in these different areas. We have to ask ourselves that. So obviously when you see these happening in multiple areas with different people, and I said this before, now this is a systemic issue that we need to address. And yet here we are. 500 years plus civil rights, like slavery, Jim Crow, civil rights movements. And that was in the 60s. That was about 60, 70 years ago. Ruby Bridges is still alive and well. My grandparents are still alive and well. So when will this stop? And the reason why they named this the Emmett Till anti-lynching into 2020 after Emmett Till. If you don't know who Emmett Till is, you need to pick up a book. And it's 2022. How the hell? Especially if people who are at big ass ages, you should definitely know who Emmett Till is. He was the Black teenager, 14 years old, who was brutally. Oh, and his accuser is still alive and well. And I don't care. Her fucking old ass need to be in jail anyway. Anyway. So he was a 14-year-old boy who was killed in Mississippi in 1955 for allegedly whistling at a white woman who on her deathbed a couple of years ago literally said that he did not do it. And he didn't like whistle at her. He wasn't trying to make sexual advances at her, blah, blah. This is a 14-year-old boy. Why the fuck? Anyway, like you literally dragged him in the streets, beat him to death, castrate this man, and then put him in and chain him. Threw him in a river for him to drown. A 14-year-old should not have to go through that. And this is why his mother, mind you, he was just visiting family, you know, and he was from Chicago. So imagine you sending your son to visit family for the summertime and he don't come back home. 14 years old. This boy had a life to live. And this is the reason why his mother insisted on having an open open funeral casket to show the world what has been done to her child. And this that became a pivotal moment in the civil rights movement, because that if you don't see the pictures of the open casket and look at him alive and then look at his picture, his body in the casket, it was brutal. This boy's face was so dismembered, you can't even tell it was him. And it was disgusting. It was disgusting. And the fact that it took 200 attempts, 120 years later to have this bill passed, it shows the long history of racism in America. And it shows that now that we finally took this step after all these years, this step has finally made, are we slowly progressing or what? Are we still just? Are we finally slowly moving into a just and fair country? And we have little progression, little landmarks, little pats on the back. And, you know, and I'm not trying to downplay anything like that. And I'm not saying, you know, this is wrong or anything like that. I'm happy that we're finally getting these milestones. And it's finally that it's happening. And it's finally that, and I'm happy that it's, I'm just mad. I guess I'm just more mad at the fact that it's like taking so long for us to do this, like, and our grandparents been fighting this fight, their parents been fighting this fight, their, you know, great grandparents been fighting this fight. And I'm just like, y'all not tired? Y'all not tired of dealing with this shit? Like, when is enough is enough? And, you know, finally Congress did something. I was trying to figure out, they was too busy kneeling and doing kid day cloths and shit like that. And I'm like, what the fuck? But yeah. But the anti-lynching bill, let me give a little bit of history of it. That it was introduced in the House by Representative Bobby L. Rush, Democrat of Illinois. The bill passed 422-3 with only Republicans Andrew S. Clyde of Georgia and Thomas Massie of Kentucky and Chip Roy of Texas voting in opposition. And those three states who are opposing, Georgia, Kentucky, and Texas, old slave states, too, they have pretty high lynching records. And I could definitely go back and pull that shit up for you, too. The bill was first considered in 1900 when it was introduced by George White, the only African-American then in Congress. And, of course, it was unsuccessful in 1900. And then since then, this has been going through 240 times, most recently with 2018 and 2020, because of black men, especially black men, been coming up dead. Like, there was this man in Georgia who was found hanging from a tree, they're going to say of suicide. Or in Georgia, the little boy was found rolled up in a mat, and with his organs cut out and stuffed with newspaper. But they try to save the suicide, Jelani Day, who death is a mystery. He was found floating in the river with organs missing, and allegedly it may not be his body, not his body. And that's going to be another episode, because we have to get into that, because, like, that was a lynching. I forgot her name, but it was the girl, and I'm going to look that up too, who was at a hotel party with her friends and ended up dead in the freezer. Like, you know, mysterious cases of black people, men and women and children going missing, and the case go cold and no one knows. Like, there's a black woman, excuse me, I do my true crime, been missing since the 90s. No, I've seen her. She just up and disappeared. People just don't up and disappear and come up dead with organs misses and stuff like that. And the one with the teenage boy killed me, because how the hell does a suicide? So you're telling me that I killed myself, cut out my own organs, stuffed my body with newspaper, and then rolled my own body into a mat? Come on, son. It makes no fucking sense. Like, let's please. Let's Girl, so do America think we stupid? I swear to God, if America has a slogan, it's out of sight, out of mind. I don't know how dumb you think you are. We are, especially, man. Remember that, especially with that fucking case where the cop accidentally walked into the house. And they're going to try to say it was a drug deal going wrong. First of all, it was a little bit of weed they had in their house. And they was telling me that they drove through two different states to go kill this man over drugs, but then leave the drugs there. I don't know if anyone see crime movies, but I don't think that works. I don't think that works like that. If you're going to kill somebody for drugs, you're going to take the drugs and the money, right? And it was only like two. I think it was like a couple hundred dollars. Well, I was like, so... Do you think we stupid? Do you think I'm stupid? Like, come on, America. Come on, America. Ha. Back to a little bit of history. The history of the anti-lynching bills in the United States. This is according to the Washington Post. Democracy dies in darkness. Who wrote this article? So make sure I give them credit. This article was by Jeffrey A. Jenkins and Justice Beckley. So let's see, during the Reconstruction era, a Republican Congress passed a crazy, right? Anyway, a Republican congressman passed a constitutional of amendments and laws ensuring African Americans had citizenship, voting rights, and civil rights protection. African Americans became loyal GOP voters, and Republicans for a time ran successfully in the South. By the late 1870s, however, Democrats took back the South's southern state governments and threatened African Americans with violence and intimidation when they are trying to vote. So, sidebar, for those who don't know, before the Great Depression, it was Republicans who were the liberals and the Democrats were the conservatives. This is why. And after the Great Depression, the roles got reversed, and you see Republicans becoming more conservative and Democrats becoming more liberal. This is why I don't trust either of them, because Republicans will say, they call you a nigga to your face, and the Democrat will call you a nigga behind your back. Okay. And we see the examples with the Clintons. I'm sorry, Biden. Your record ain't so clean. Kamala Harris, I know you a sister when you want to be. Don't trust your ass far as I say either, girl. Sorry, girl. Sorry, girl. So where you at, dude? Anyway, national Republican leaders intentionally resisted these Democratic-backed terror tactics by the 1890s. As research shows, they gave up actively supporting African-American civil rights. Lynching was one terror tactic frequently used against African-Americans to maintain white supremacy in the Jim Crow South. Tuskegee University collected data on lynching that estimated 4,723 people were lynched between 1882 and 1968. More than 70% were African-American. Honestly, I feel like those numbers may be a little bit higher. I think those numbers are a little bit higher because those are the numbers that were recorded. So about Republicans neglect after World War I, when several million Southern Black people migrated to Northern cities for work, which we call the Great Migration, where you see a lot of people from like Florida, Georgia, Alabama. They all up in like went to like New York, Jersey, Connecticut, some went all the way up to Nova Scotia. They went to like Illinois, up there, Ohio, people from Louisiana, Texas, a lot of them migrated them. So that's what we call the Great Migration. And it's like I have a really great book on that too. In the 1920s, a Republican Leon Dias Dreyer, a Republican of Missouri, whose Missouri House District comprised a heavily Black area of St. Louis, became the new anti-lynching champion after whites rioted against Black residents in East St. Louis, killing dozens of people. Dyer sponsored a federal anti-lynching bill that passed in the House in January of 1922, with the large majority of Republicans opposing nearly all Democrats. Later in the year, the Republican-controlled Senate took up the Dyer bill, and it was blocked by Southern Democrats. Rather than continue to fight the agenda, time dwindled, state Republicans eventually moved on. out of sight, out of mind to other legislations. They basically filibustered their way in to not get that bill. And Southern Democrats were determined to block the bill. They were willing to run out the clock. I think that's what the fuck is. Again, the parties were, and I told you, like, at 1936, were after Great Depression, the parties began to switch sides on race, as because Franklin D. Roosevelt, and his New Deal policy helped move African Americans into the Democratic column as a result of National Democrats, mainly the North, now championed Black rights, while Republicans slowly became an opponent. And you know what's funny? I wrote this in a history paper when I was in 12th grade, and my teacher going to ask me for a proof? Well, Mr. Collins, here's your fucking proof, you racist motherfucker. Try to say that, oh, he was neutral. Ah, yeah, we all know what side you picked on. And I hope you hear this. You probably won't, but suck my dick. Here's your proof right here. It's Nick, you know what? I'm not going to rant today. Let me finish this little minor history lesson. Anyway, but y'all don't understand, that made me super fucking pissed, because I'm a history buff. I read a lot of books. I've been reading since shit I could, and the amount of knowledge that I have, and then the amount of time and dedication since I was a teenager, and my dedication into civil rights and the Black movement and studying Black people, and just being pride in myself, and the fact that my teacher try to make it seem like I was just making shit up, or make it seem like, oh, I was just pulling shit out my ass. Like, no, I know my shit. And he tried to be like, oh, he was like, what? He took points off for that. And now I want to go back and be like, nah, raise that B to an A+, nigga, because look, that was your proof right there. Anyway, off of my little rant. And you see, this is how. You see how your white racist teacher try to stifle the Black minds. This is why, you know, Black people, when you who has Black children who are in the just public schools, no matter where you are, look over your kids' work and make sure you also to teach your kids the history lessons, because they're not going to teach this stuff in school. And that was proof of that, too. So back to history. House Democrats passed federal anti-lynching bill legislation twice in 1937 and in 1940. Both times, Senate filibusters blocked the bills with Southern Democrats, now joined by Northern Republicans. You know, they'll stick to races, stick together. This proves that the commitment your government tried to maintain the Jim Crow system in the South. This shows that yes, America is inherently racist, and yes, you should teach that shit in school, because it's true. Your government is literally went out its way to stifle you. Now back to 1940, the Democrats' House bill was the last time the federal anti-lynching bill passed either congressional chamber for more than 3/4 of a century, and then it came back again in 2018 after the Charlottesville situation that happened, where a woman was killed in a car attack. She got hit by a car and injured, and was in that car, injured several other people. And we all seen that video. It was crazy how that man's leg went back. Oh my god. And unfortunately, one woman got killed. That's when we have Kamala Harris. She was a Democrat of California, Cory Booker of New Jersey, and Tim Scott, Republican of South Carolina, sponsored a new federal anti-lynching bill that would classify lynching as a federal hate crime. In 2008 of December, the Senate adopted it unanimously, and during the lame duck session, but with only a few days left before Congress adjourned, the House didn't take it up. Of course, they didn't. But Harris, Booker, and Scott built generation more momentum. In 2019, Republican Bobby Rush introduced the Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act, and the House passed it February 2020 with a 4-10-4 vote. Oh, excuse me. 7 months later, while the country was riled up by civil rights protests with the murder of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, Freddie Gray, Sandra Bland, shall I go on? Tamir Rice, Trayvon Martin, like, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. 7 months later, uh, and then after all this stuff, they brought it back to the floor. Rand Paul, oh my God, I hate him because he likes something from the Crypt Keeper. Broad, to make lynching a hate crime, it'd be too compromising. So basically he's trying to say that he don't think it's a good idea because somebody could say there'll be minor bruising and they'd be like, who are lynching our history. Sir, as a white man, unless you come from a family of abolitionists of slavery, because those are the only white people who are lynched, I don't want to hear shit from you. I don't want to hear shit from you. You know, this was family affairs with lynching. People will take their children. This is why I don't trust old white men or old white people, because I've known yet that y'all have seen a lynching in your life, especially Southern white people. Or have your parents took you to one. I believe it. I don't care what nobody says. I stand on that. Now that we are in 2022, the anti-lynching bill has finally passed to be, and now it is to be presented by the president to be signed into law. And please don't be Joe Biden, because you promised this shit when you got into office. You and Kamala Harris definitely used a black card to get in the seats that y'all sit in now. And it's time for y'all to pull through. And you need to hold on that. And people who voted and the people who do vote, when you vote for these people, make sure they stand on what they promised and make sure they stand on that commitment. Because what people fail to realize is that it's not voting. Voting is not enough. Voting is not enough. The reason why these politicians get away with that, because we think that voting is enough and we just sit back. Oh, we voted you in the office, so now we just sit back and watch you make these rules for that you said you promised. No. When you vote, you have to keep on with that vote. You have to keep campaigning. You have to make sure, like, write letters, do what you have to do. And if you do this more as a collectively, shit will get done. You have to harass these people. You have to... Politicians, the answer to being bullied. You have to bully these people. You have to bully these people to get shit done. You can't sit back and let these people do their job and think they're going to do their job, because they won't. You have to put the fire under their ass. So. And we have different things of history. You have the Tulsa, and you have Tulsa, Rosewood, Detroit. So many areas where you see anti-Black men's racism. You see this stuff today where they try to break down the Black woman trying to be in the Supreme Court justice. And is the affirmative action vote, maybe, but that's another episode that we're definitely going to talk about, and we're definitely going to get back into that. So this concludes the end of Beetle Talks, because we can definitely go on about anti-lynching, and I'm not going to depress you or myself. I gave you this snippet of history, and I gave you a snippet of how racist your country is and how racist your country still is. And hopefully we can all come together and, bring some more solutions. We know the problems are. Now it's time to find solutions. We have some solutions, but now is an act of actually executing these solutions and make sure shit's getting done, because my kids is not, if I have a kid, they're not gonna be making a fucking podcast about racist shit in America and shit like that, because no, that's gonna be like in like, how old am I? So 40 years, because I'm 26. So another 20 years is 2022. So 2042, yes. 2042, my kid's not going to be making a fucking podcast about this shit. Okay? So, yeah, we have to come together. We have to find executions. We have to find executions. How are we going to get this shit done? Okay? So, that was your little piece of history. We finally got a little milestone. So, let's just hopefully we get some more milestones. Thank you for listening. This has been episode 3 of season 2 of Beetle Talks. Sorry for the delay, people, but your girl has been busy. And I got a lot of stuff going on. I got a lot of projects I want to do with this podcast, you know. We're going to do some segments. We're going to talk about books. We're going to get into it. Peace, love, and blessings. Thank you. Thank you for lending me your ear. This is Kayla Monet. Thank you. Have a nice night.